She said she was going to give something, but we'll see. Hallelujah. Did you find Job chapter 8, verse 7? I want to welcome you guys online. There's some people that are watching online. Am I too loud or what? Hey? Praise God, eh? I don't go too loud. Can you hear me at the back? You want louder? Charlotte, come on. Can you hear me? Yes, she said, can you hear me loud and clear? Praise God. Maybe I was just mumbling too much. Yes, we have been going to a lot of visitations to the hospital, a lot. I've never seen more demonic activity ever in my entire ministry. More people seeming to be possessed by the devil, more people influenced by the devil, more criminal activity, more things going on in our city, more hate, more, you know, criticism among the Christian folks of each other. Jesus said, in the last days, the love of many will grow cold. But not you guys. You're hot. Oh, you love each other. You're giving away cars and everything. Praise God. Amen. Every time the phone rings, you say, praise God, who's going to be blessing me next? Yes, but I mean, it's serious. I mean, I'm not kidding when I say that. It's true. And you might not witness it yourself, but us guys that are in the front line, Pastor Ken and I think out of all maybe the people here, are faced every day. We're the ones that go and visit the people. We're the ones that phone the people, talk to the people. We're interacting with people every day. And so we get to see a lot of folks. It's not because someone calls us, it's just something that just happens that way. That we meet one guy, another guy says this, and then you're involved in something that you didn't want to. And we're supposed to take a 2-week vacation. I think we work more times in a 2-week vacation. I think I'm glad to come back to work. So, anyway, did you find Job chapter 8? Praise God. Some of you are just using your memory. Bible school students, they're just like, their memories are going like this. I can see a cloud over people. It's a sleepy cloud, though. Come over the a fluffy cloud. All right, Job chapter 8, verse 7, New English Translation for all you English people. It says, your beginning will seem small. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, small. since your future will flourish, it says there. It's like, well, you know, you could be, one day you could be having a hard time, next day be just riding in a fresh Cadillac. Or your fresh car, whatever it is you're looking for. We used to say Cadillac when we were young, but I don't know what they say anymore. People always talk about a Cadillac. I didn't like a Cadillac, but they talked about that. We just like a big truck when I was a kid. I wanted a truck. And so I just want to speak a few minutes. Don't get excited. I'm watching the time back there. to talk about this year a little bit, and to encourage you this year. But I want to make sure before you crash at the end of the week and have a real wicked time, you can always remember that every day could be a brand new year. The Bible says in Lamentations, every day the mercies of God are new every day. You can start every day. And so don't be discouraged if you have a bad time. Just say, you know, hey, I'm going to start again. You can start every day brand new. So don't wait till next year, 2021, to start if you messed up. Start every day. I want to encourage you from the Word of God to know the Lord spoke to my heart not too long ago. And he said, tell the people here to focus on the Word of God more than they ever have. I want you to notice that. You better write that down, because you'll say, what did he say again? And it's so simple. To focus on God's Word more. Put the Word of God first in every aspect of life. If anything happens in your life, If you're looking for a new job, if you're moving out of town, ask yourself, does God want me to do this? What does God want me to do? What would He want me to do? And measure that on the inside of you by the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. There's a witness under there. The Bible said He's the Holy Ghost. To begin to see if that word is true. That Spirit on the inside of you, that Holy Spirit, and your spirit will witness. Your spirit will witness, and also the Word of God. The Spirit of God says he's a co-witness. The Holy Spirit is a co-witness with your spirit. You know, your inward man, your spirit, your regenerate spirit that was born again, knows God. Your spirit knows God. Your spirit knows more about things than your mind does. See, most people will walk by what they think. Rather, they walk by what they think and what they feel emotionally. We're not encouraged to do that from the Bible. What does Proverbs 3:5 says? Trust in the Lord with all your feelings. When all the circumstances are working out. But yet there's thousands of people that they're making decisions on circumstances. Or they're making their decisions on how they feel. Here's another thing. They're making their decisions on what they can see. You know, the scripture says in Numbers chapter 13 that there was, was it 40 spies? Remember they spied out to the there was 12 spies? Was it the 12 spies? 40 spies. Where did I get the 40 spies? So that's what happens when you don't speak out of notes. They've been multiplying over the years. The Bible does say about multiplication. But these spies, God told them to take out and look at the land and see what it looks like, and they come back and give a bad report. And over in Hebrews chapter 3, it says they give an evil report of unbelief. See, when you speak negative or opposite of what God says, you're speaking an evil report of unbelief. And you know what happened to those people? The Bible says they all died in the wilderness. Now, you don't want to die in the wilderness. You need to say what God says about you. Don't say what the doctor said. Dr. Jesus said you're healed. Well, some people say, well, he's a renowned specialist. Well, thank God for that renowned specialist, but God's word is true. And people believe everything they feel since they've been born, since they were physically born. But the Bible tells us to be encouraged to trust in the Lord with all our heart. That's your inward man. And lean not. What part of lean not you don't understand? And lean not is your own understanding. Your understanding is your mind. What you think about it. It's not what you think about it. What does the Bible say? Brother Hagin taught us. Now, we always quote Brother Hagin because he's an authority on different things. You know, we in university, those of us have been educated in higher learning in university. I spent years in university. I'm still studying. And we always quote those who are ahead of us, those who have had studies and years of study. So we quote them. What's wrong with quoting Brother Hagin? People that we follow after, those who have proven the ministry. Proven the Word of God in their lives. And so a lot of us, we quote different scholars and different ones. So there's nothing wrong with quoting Brother Hagin or Brother Copeland or whoever you want to quote, or Joyce Meyer or King Jum Joom or whatever. Whatever you want. So you can quote whatever you want. But Paul quoted the prophet Isaiah more than anybody else. He read after the book of Isaiah. And we need to quote people. So whenever you get into trouble this year, ask yourself, what does God's word have to say about my situation? Before you ask anybody else's opinion. You might ask people's opinion, just to talk about different things. But put the word of God first. Put God's word first. So maybe you started off your life in a horrible way. Like, unfortunately, I grew up in a time in the 50s and 60s where a lot of bad stuff was happening. When I was a kid, go with my parents to downtown, and I would see signs that would say, no Indians allowed, on a door in a restaurant or somewhere. We were Indians. We were not First Nations back then. We were not indigenous people. We were Indians. And that was a bad word, Indians. And so I don't mind that word today. I mean, I'm redeeming everything the devil stole. Praise God. Indian is a good word. I like Rob Ahuja is an Indian. And we have an Indian here somewhere, a real one. And we love Indians. We love Indians. You know, so they took that word. Listen, they took that word and made it derogatory. They made it a bad thing. But today, we're redeeming it. I'm a good Indian. Amen. I'm a Anishinaabe. That's what it means. Amen. Sterling, we're good, eh? Amen. I love Sterling. Praise God. He comes and eats my food once in a while. You know, when he comes to my food, the dogs jump on him, lick him, and every day he can't sit still. Here's another scripture for you, Jeremiah 29:11, New Living Translation. This is one of the best things. Everybody say, my future will flourish. Say the old days are gone. So Jeremiah 29:11, the new Living Translation, for those of you that have a new lifestyle, new living, we got this for you. Amen. You're going to speak you're going to give your testimony pretty soon, eh? Praise God, amen. How'd you like those testimonies last Wednesday? Yeah. Eh? It was good, eh? I was just happy. I almost couldn't believe it, praise God. That's great. This happened, just sitting there, just relaxing, hearing all the testimonies. There was no moanings, lots of testings. Eh? Somebody said there's no testimonies unless you have a test. Amen. So Jeremiah 29, did you find it? If you haven't, look on the wall up here. What is that called? Screens. For I know the plans I have for you. Is there a plan that God had for you? He says, they are plans for good and not for disaster. You know, the devil brings disaster to give you a future and a hope. Say, I have a future. Say, I have hope. See, God says you have a hope and there's a future. There's some great things happening. You know what hope is like? Hope is when you're anticipating something good is going to happen. You know it's going to happen any moment. It's surely going to happen. It's just any time now. That's what it's like. That's what God's hope means. It's not like wishing. Like, you know, in the natural, in the world, we say, oh, I hope so. But it's not that kind of hope. It's like, you know, woo, praise God. It's coming to pass. So go to Ephesians 2:10. I'm trying to fill you with these scriptures. The Lord said to me, be people of the word. Make sure this people is a people of the word. Okay? We're going to learn how to pray. So I want you this year to say, Pastor, is there something you want me to pray for? You go to Pastor Ken. Pastor Ken, is there something you want me to pray for you about? Instead of saying, Pastor Ken, can you pray for me, please? Those of you that have been here at least for 5 years, you should be an expert, world expert prayer. Bring down heaven every time. Amen? You should go to each other and say, hey, there's something I can pray for you about? Did you find Ephesians 2:10? So the Amplified Version, I see it on the screen here. So for we are, everybody say we are God's handiwork, His workmanship. You know, you're not finished product yet. What you are right now in the natural, that's not a finished project. You're still under construction. Isn't that wonderful? Like the woman I married, she's not the same woman. She's a different woman, a great woman. I think about my wife lots of times. And sometimes I'm doing something, I think about what a wonderful gift she has been to my life. Amen. Oh, I tell God, Lord, I thank you for my wife. I want to praise you. She's been such a wonderful woman of God, a great mother, good encourager. Somebody calling me? And I think the Lord is calling me. He says, continue, go on. Okay. So, born in you that we may do those good works which God predestined or planned beforehand. See, God has planned some wonderful things for you to do. So you can't die right now. You can't die soon. You can't die early. You have to fulfill your plan. Caleb, listen. Caleb? That Caleb over there. I want to listen. I want to talk to you. You got a good plan ahead of you. You can't die. You refuse to die. I mean, he's having, what do you call these things? No, they're not heart palpitations. What do they call it anyway? He's going to get these things every twice a week. Dialysis. I'm believing God with you, man, no matter what happens. Thank God. Somebody say, if you die, I'll kill you. No. So anyway, God has plans for us, which he prepared ahead of time. Look at this. Taking paths, which he prepared ahead of time. See, God already had a path for you. Everyone, God has a path for you. Now, listen to this. Some of us has veered off that plan. Romans chapter 12 said there is a perfect will for us. So when you don't walk in that perfect will, you encounter trials that are not in God's plan. When you do something, when God said, don't buy that van, and you bought that van too early, you encountered financial difficulty. You had to find money somewhere. Now you're trying to believe God for over above your whatever. Now you got to have three jobs instead of one. So, I mean, different things like that can happen to you. You cause your own trouble. And then you blame the devil for what you've been doing. I like that part the best. Yeah? We blame the devil. And I say, who did that? That's the devil did it. The Lord says, you did it. He never bought that van. Did you sign over here? Yeah. Okay, the devil didn't sign it. You signed it. So tell that to the loan company. He said, go and talk to the devil about it. No, you need to talk to yourself. So, Jeremiah, he says there's a good future. Ephesians says there's a path to take, which is a good path that God has already prearranged for us to live in. This is a wonderful plan. So we need to get in there by following the Word of God, putting the Word of God first in every area of our lives. Secondly, and just about firstly too, we need to follow the Spirit of God on the inside of us. Yeah. That witness and say, you know, is this right? Is something bothering me here about this? Doesn't seem right. And your spirit is talking to you. Your spirit is restless. And he says, no, there's the caution light. You better slow down. Don't take that. So you don't do that. And then you feel better. As soon as you decide, oh, you feel so much better. You feel at peace. Peace of God. So I say this. No, I but the Lord. No. So if you believe in God, you have to believe the best days are ahead of you. Maybe you've been in the driver's seat a little bit too much, saying that God is the one. God never caused any sickness to anybody. And like I said, we've been to the hospital, I don't know how many times in the last couple of months, like almost every week, weekly, where deathly situations are happening. People dying, people have died, people are ready to die. And sometimes you try to talk to people on their bed in the ICU. I said, they're waiting for somebody. They're waiting for somebody to come and heal them. I said, no, you can't wait for anybody to come and heal you. You got to believe right now. You don't have any more minutes. You don't have any more hours. You don't have any more days. Start believing now that you're well according to the Word of God. They can't do it. Why? Because they have implanted the Word of God in them. When they were healthy enough, they could come to church, but they didn't. When they could have read their Bible at home in comfort, they didn't. And so now they're in a hospital. They want to read the Word, but they can't because they're incapacitated. Their mind is too overwhelmed. They're physically incapacitated. And so they're almost, beyond hope, naturally, for sure. But in God, there's always hope. So when I go to the hospital, I always ask, Lord, so what do you want me to do here? I don't have weeks to teach that person. I might not have hours. I don't have any spare minutes. So what do you want me to do? The first thing always the Lord always remind me, he says to look at my mercy. Many times in the Bible, they look at the mercy of God and say, God, have mercy on me. I've sinned. I've had trouble. If you look in the book of Psalms, it says, when they shout out to God and say, God, have mercy on me, and God healed them and delivered them. So everything has a small beginning. Everything starts very small. Hey, guys, I got 10 minutes. So if you're thinking counting minutes, I got 10 minutes here. Because sometimes you go to a church service, you think, oh, this is so long. But if you're in a bingo hall, 6 hours, nothing. Huh? If you're in a bar room all day long, spend all morning, all afternoon, and then you sit in there, and when it closes at 2 o'clock, you say, oh, it's closing already? We could watch, like yesterday, I sat watching like 3 hockey games yesterday, no problem. But when it comes to reading my Bible at night, tired. And you wonder why you're weak spiritually. And the Bible says, you know, when you're in faith, if you're a man of faith, when bad news comes, nothing shakes you. That's what the scripture says. You know, if you look in the Psalms, the Bible says, because the man who believes God, when bad news comes, they're not shaken. Because they build a foundation on the inside of them. They know God's not going to let them down. And if everything else falls down, you're not going to fall down. You're going to be strong all the time. You know, as we encourage Psalm chapter 1, the Bible said, blessed the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a leaf planted by the rivers of water, and his season shall bear fruit. And whatever he does, he will prosper, he will succeed. The Lord gave me that in 1985. I was having a hard time. I was finishing my Bachelor of Arts degree at university, and I was depressed. And I didn't know which road to take. You know, it seems to me when you're down and out, to decide makes it, to make a decision is much harder, especially if you're not following the Word of God. But if you're in the Word every day, it's easy to make a decision. But if you're not, it's really hard. And you think it's going to be easy, you know, when you kind of neglect yourself. How many people have neglected themselves in some way, you know, your attitude maybe or something like that, or my suits are getting smaller every year. No, I should say that. I'm really thin now. I was complaining the other day, I couldn't tie my shoelaces. Yeah. My butt. I would ruin jackets, man. I mean, I had jackets on, I'm turning down, buttons come off and zippers broke. And some of you don't have that problem. Juwan, you don't have that problem. No, not at all. No. You know, there's a man by the name of Chara. There's a guy, he's a Boston Bruin defenseman. He's 6'9". Apparently he's 263 pounds. That's without his clothes on. But if you put his clothes on, he's like over 300 pounds. Or 400 almost. Or 300. Guy's growing every month. That's really speaking, you know, it's really stretching the truth over here, right? I'm like Mark Davey. No, I'm just kidding. No. He'd get mad at me. Stretching the truth here. So he started, you know, he's that big of a defenseman. Like today there's guys right now that are in junior that are just as big as him. They're like 14 years old. Big people. 17-year-old guys. Jesus said the kingdom of God starts off like a small seed and ends up in a huge mustard seed is small. Jesus used that term. And it grows into something huge, spectacular. That's how your life is going to be when we get to believe God. And so he uses that over in Luke chapter 13, verse 8 and 9. Everything starts small. In the end, there's great things. And take this opportunity this year. Make this an opportunity right now to say your best days are ahead of you. Do that today. Do make yourself say, you know what, this is going to be my best. No, you wouldn't be lying. You would not be exaggerating at all to say, this is going to be my year. You would not be exaggerating. The devil will tell you, your mind might tell you, oh, you know, you said that. But no, listen, this is the truth. The Bible says, call those things that be not as though they were. The Bible says, even you can find scriptures, like I just gave you three scriptures, that your best days are ahead of you. And you need to begin to prophesy that over yourself. Don't wait for anybody to prophesy. Just prophesy. Go in your closet and say, you know what? This is going to be my year. This is going to be the best year I ever had. I want to tell you something. This year, I think this year was my best year this Christmas season. In a long, long time, I could say for years, this everything went according to plan. Even the Leafs started winning. Amen? Everything started going well, you know. It's been wonderful. It's been so good, and I'm enjoying life more than ever. But you know, you got the devil. You know, the devil likes to attack you in behind there and try to aggravate you and tell you things are going to just break out any moment. He tries to tell you that. You ever know, over in history, there's a man by the name of Abraham Lincoln. Do you remember Abraham Lincoln? Do you have anything to do with him? Well, he says the best way to create your future is to create it. Start doing it today. Be crafty about it. Start creating your future and start planning it. Some people say they make dream boards, what do you call these? Vision boards. They just stick something up. I remember hearing that years ago from a teacher, a Bible teacher. Just put that, pick a picture up there and say, this is what I want and this and that. And we've seen people who've done that, and they had everything on that board. They had everything. You begin to prophesy your future. You know, cut out the little skinny man, put it on there. That's what I want to be. Right? Thank God. Some of you guys never crack a smile. Never crack a smile. Okay. That's what I see up here sometimes. You know, it's intimidating almost. Almost intimidating. Okay, so we need to be like Abraham Lincoln. And here's the Chinese philosopher. You know about any Chinese philosophers? Chinese cookies. This Chinese philosopher, his name is Lao. I don't know anything about Lao. But there was this thing I saw. He said, if you're living in the past, how many people live in the past? Some people do live in the past. He said, you are depressed. Old Chinese prophet. Yeah. If you live in the past, you know, you're messed up. You will be depressed. He said, if you are anxious, you're living in the future. People are always anxious because they're thinking about what bad thing's going to happen. I'm anxious about this, anxious about that, you know. And so they're always uptight. That's a 1970s word, uptight. If you are living at peace, he said, you're living in the present moment. So be at peace and expect God's plan to unfold. Expect God's plan to unfold before you. Every day, say, what's going to happen today? God has a special plan for me. I wish we all would all be like a pastor from Dallas. This is a wonderful day. Huh? You know that pastor I'm talking about? His name is Joel Osteen. He said, every day is a wonderful day. If you're ever in Dallas, okay? So, there's a man by the name of the best days. Even Scripture promises that even when you're old, I'm talking about me and you, when we're older, you can live a productive life. Pastor Ken, your day, you're just a young man. Amen. 50 is a new, what, 40, 30. That's half a year, right? That's The Bible says we can live 120 if you can stand it. The psalmist says, Psalm 92, look at this now, Psalm 92. I think it says 12, 14. I must have made a mistake at 12 and 14. But the godly will flourish like a palm tree, or like palm trees, and grow like cedars in Lebanon. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They'll remain vital and green. So Miss Grace, this is a scripture for you this year. You're going to be greener than ever. You're going to be more vital than ever. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah, and some of our other folks are here. Jerry, this is for you too. You're only 39, okay. So, there's another man by the name of Dr. Norman Vincent Peale. Has anybody heard of Dr. Vincent Peale? Anybody here? Well, I'm going to just tell you about him just in a few seconds here. Dr. Peale, a minister known for positive thinking, he was asked what were his best years. I guess they were asking what was his best years in life. He was at that time 80 years old. He says, I haven't lived them yet. What a great attitude. He said, what has been your best years? He said, you know what? I haven't even lived my best years yet. And he's 80 years old. That's a good attitude. He says, here's a man by the name of Luther Van Dross. He's a musician and singer and a songwriter. He said, the best part for me is still ahead of me. He said, I haven't experienced my good old days yet. We need to adopt this mindset and believe that we can be people, especially if people of faith, we can believe the best days are ahead of us. This year, you need to believe your best days are ahead. Everybody stand up, praise God. Hallelujah. The best years are just ahead of you, around the corner. I want to talk to you guys that are watching online. I don't know where you are, what your situation is. I want to let you know that God loves you. He has a plan for you. If you've never been born again, this is a time, an opportunity for you to come to Jesus today, to be born again, to come into God's kingdom. You can be born again in the moment of time by accepting Jesus Christ. Years ago, while at home, I accepted Jesus Christ by watching Billy Graham on television. I said, Jesus, come in my life. You know, I heard that all my life, but for the first time for myself, it was like the first time I've heard it. And yet I heard it maybe 100 times before. The seed was being planted. And one day, it just dawned on me, the Bible says, in the fourth chapter of the book of Matthew, in the 16th verse, that the people that in the region of darkness, in the lower parts, in the shadow of darkness, saw a great light. The Bible says Jesus is the light of the world. And when that light comes in you, everything becomes brighter. I want to let you know today, if you can just do that today, and if you've been out of fellowship with God, maybe you have a cloud hanging over you, seems like a deep darkness trying to get over your life. If you would just give yourself to the Lord. And we need to do this continually, all believers, even in this room today. We need to continually say this prayer. Lord, I give you my life. I surrender my will, my plans, my dreams. I give you my everything because you are my all. Your plan is my plan. I believe that this year is going to be super spectacular. It's going to be the greatest year I've ever had thus far. Best things are going to come to me. All the good things are going to come to me. All the best people. The best places, I'm going to go places and do things I've never done before with great people, great friends. Say, sickness is far from me. Prosperity is mine. Success is mine. I give you praise, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise you, Jesus.